We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, I was 3 yards off.
That's right. Wow. Accurate. What a majestic looking shot.
You have a noon tee time.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot. So why waste time doing it?
This is AJ and Dusty on U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What did you miss the most?
I miss sitting here in front of you guys. And talking.
The Fan.
Good afternoon, happy Monday to you, the 14th of June, 2021, Dusty Harrod, no AJ McCord, Andrew Nemec in the building.
And my middle name is John, so it's still a Dusty and AJ.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're an AJ?
I am an AJ.
Did you ever contemplate going by AJ Nemec?
No. I never thought I was cool enough to pull off an AJ. I'm not AJ, I don't have AJ McCord swag, yeah. Although I did wear Jordans, I wore J's. Because I know that's her thing. So you still
that
have an AJ.
Thing.
You still have somebody wearing J. So I'm trying to keep the theme.
I like it.
While also going heavy sports, I think. That tends to be like my status at 1080 is when we go heavy sports.
Heavy sports?
That's when I'm here. Although it sounds like we've got some other topics.
No, we definitely have a lot of other topics. And I will not let you make this heavy sports, especially this first segment,
okay,
Mr. Nemec.
All right, here we go.
Because a 1080 The Fan mystery has been solved. It has officially been solved. This is something that we didn't know. This has been around for, I'll say it's over a decade. But a football has been autographed and it's been bouncing around. Nobody wanted this football. And it ended up in the office of one Will Darkins. It is a cheap football.
Very cheap football.
Yeah.
Like a $6.99 in the Walmart, like, on sale bin football.
Yes. And I just assumed that somebody had found Kellen Clemens and said, here, sign this. So Will put it up
social
media.
It's autographed.
It's autographed, yes.
And
it's autographed football.
The first two letters are clearly a K and a C.
Mm-hmm.
And then scribble.
That's right. It is unidentifiable. And I figured, like, hey, we're in Oregon. It's probably Kellen Clemens.
That's what I thought. That was my guess.
It has been found. It's been investigated. And, of course, John Sukanik is the person who found it.
He has weird autograph knowledge.
Yes.
It's his sixth sense.
Will Darkins, are you going to be selling this football now that we know Kenny Chesney has signed that football?
Kenny Chesney?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Do you have the football with you?
No, it's in your office. You go look up. We did a side-by-side of the actual autograph. It's Kenny Chesney.
Why did Kenny Chesney sign a football at Odyssey Portland? Can you explain that? Because that doesn't make sense.
And this is where it completely will make sense. Kenny Chesney, big-time football fan. Huge football fan. Has had the Boys of Fall?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You know, he's a friend of Sean Payton, noted football coach. He's suited up in a Saints uniform and caught passes from Drew Brees.
Okay.
He's performed at the Thanksgiving halftime of the games in Cowboy Stadium.
So what this screams to me is somebody's like, oh, Kenny Chesney's here. Hey, He likes football. Go down to Kmart and grab as many footballs as we can, and we'll throw them out during the Kenny Chesney show. And one was left over, and everybody forgot about it, and nobody knew where it went. It's in Will Darkin's office now.
Also, the fact that it's been around for roughly a decade and nobody's wanted it also speaks to Will's point and theory that why would Kenny Chesney sign a football? And that's the reason it's in the office, because the people that maybe would have wanted it are why do I want this Kenny Chesney signed football?
Well, this goes back to the movie Step Brothers.
If he'd have signed an album, you'd want it.
Randy Jackson, Samurai Sword.
There.
It's all he had.
It's the same thing.
Right there. Boom. But I think this one, you will find somebody who will want a signed Kenny Chesney football because, like, they love the Boys of Fall song and they love, like, big country fans know Kenny Chesney's football guy. I think he has a song called Touchdown Tennessee, if I'm correct. Like, he is a huge University of Tennessee football fan. So we have it. And I asked John, I said, how do you knew this? Did you investigate it or is it something you knew? He said, I knew. I've come across it a few times in my memorabilia wheelings and dealings. He's come across the Kenny Chesney autograph and he was like, yep, I know exactly what that is on a football.
Why don't we just tweet at Kenny Chesney so we can get an actual answer to it? Because while I trust John, I'd like further verification.
Sounds like you don't trust John.
I'm not super convinced yet. Why do we have a football? This hasn't really been answered to me yet. In fact, we haven't really gone back into concerts that Kenny Chesney has done in the Portland area and looked up, okay, well, he was here at this time, so he must have had a football at that time. And if we do have a signed football from him, it's most likely that it wasn't at a show. It's that he actually came in here. Because why the hell would anybody get a signed football of Kenny Chesney then go, I'm going to bring it to the radio station?
No, because like promotions will do this where they'll go and they have the meet and greet thing and they'll say, hey, sign all of these deals and he'll sign a bunch of stuff and it was for a prize. And the big, big prize is Will Darkin's noted country music fan has a Kenny Chesney signed football in his office.
Noted country music denier and hater, Will Darkin's.
John Sukanik says, I am 100% sure. Tell Will to zip it. We know for in fact, this is a Kenny Chesney signed football.
Okay. And well, let's go sell it then. Right.
When I found out from John, it was Kenny Chesney. I was like, yep, we're good. we're good on that. As long as he says that's what it is, he's not going to lead us awry.
And you know, I was a little insulted because I initially left John out because I knew saying John Sukanik said would be the debate ender. So I said, I think it's Kenny Chesney. And then I went to Kenny. I didn't steal his thing. I just wanted to see what you'd say coming from me.
Yes.
And you were like, no way. Nope, no way. Not Kenny Chesney.
No way.
And then I said, well, John said. And you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
I mean, that's true.
Cool,
well,
man.
Well, I wanted to know. I was like, because I was in Will's camp. Like, why in the hell would Kenny Chesney sign a football? Yeah.
Answer. Look on that text line. P1 what? Raymond.
Okay.
That makes quite a bit of sense.
And now we know it's Kenny Chesney.
Oh, he's saying if you guys paid attention, you would know Kenny Chesney signed footballs were part of Isaac and Suk's telethon a few years ago.
Had to have been more than a few years ago, though, because that football's been around the office for a long time. It was at least since I started here.
It had to have been more than a few years ago because we haven't had that telethon in a few years.
Yeah.
There we go.
That telethon hasn't happened in a while.
I think it's more that I would trust that explanation of events more than I do. And because a lot of people now are texting in that apparently this is a regular part of his concert series that he
throws
tosses
some footballs,
footballs around and signs them. I believe that more from Raymond, that it was just part of the telethon promotion. And to be quite honest, I think that football probably has been around for a long time and then just kind of came up at a certain point. Like it did. I think it was probably stored away somewhere and then somebody threw it at me and then I put it in my office and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a whole deal.
Easily explainable.
This is a whole deal. It's been around here for a while.
We need a new mystery item because most of the items that are signed in are a lot of signed items. They're like photos or jerseys. Like, I think there's a signed Jeremy Lin jersey, right?
It's right behind you, yeah. It's on the wall hallway. Jeremy Lin signed jersey, which also, that came in as part of the telethon. and nobody bid on it. So now, now it lives in our studio on the wall. Because Linsanity did not,
not so much.
It was not a thing in Portland.
Well, and, but it was so when he was in New York. And this is, I believe, a Rockets jersey, which also not ideal.
Nah,
it's like a Pippen Blazer jersey. You want if you're going to get a Scottie Pippen jersey, you want it signed when he's with the Bulls, right?
I'd take a signed Blazers Pippen jersey.
I know, but you're from Portland. Like, the average fan would rather.
You know what I want?
How about an MJ jersey? You'd rather have an MJ jersey signed with the Bulls than when he was with the Wizards, right?
Yes.
There we go. It's that kind of thing.
But
Jeremy
Lin
was Linsanity during New York. No, you would not. No.
I think you would because I think it'd be more of a rarity.
Like, you're talking nonsense.
A Pippen signed Blazers jersey, I think, would be more rare than a Pippen signed
Bulls jersey.
Bulls jersey.
If you're selling it in Portland, you'd probably get more money for it. But generally speaking, if you're trying to, if you're an autograph collector, you want the autograph on the thing they're known for. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yes, you don't
want to.
What would you rather have?
That.
A Barry Bonds signed bat or a Barry Bonds signed glove? A bat, because he was a great home run hitter, wasn't a great fielder.
But how
I understand the autograph on the thing that they're known for. Trust me, this is a thing.
But how I understand memorabilia is it's based on scarcity, right? That like that's a huge part of it.
No,
if there
is a part of it.
Nemec is good. Nemec knows this, and I know that John is listening, so he'll text in.
I have a Kobe autograph. I used to collect autographs. I have a Kobe autograph from his second year, and he signed it with the 8 at the end of his name. Oh. That is cool because he switched numbers, and so you can date how far back the autograph goes.
Right.
He's also wearing his number 8 jersey, so it's an older autograph. So that, to me, is cooler than if you go with the 24, you know, whatever he was later.
Yeah, the pre-Colorado Kobe, because he changed his number after the whole Colorado thing.
I wanted his autograph pre-ring.
Yeah. That is a good little piece of memorabilia. How much do you think the Atlanta Hawks Rasheed Wallace jersey will go for? Do you remember when he was a member of the Hawks for a day?
No.
I don't. I think he played in one game as an Atlanta Hawk, and they even had jerseys made up. So there's a few of them that'll be floating around. But it was in the middle of the Rasheed Wallace getting traded around Portland. I think it was part of the Walt Williams deal that brought him when we sent
and
Walt
they
Williams.
They actually made up the jersey?
Yeah, there was a few of them rolling around. You could get it, and it was like the super ugly ones that actually had the Hawks wings out on the side, like the bird was flying.
Oh, I love those ones.
That era of ugly Atlanta Hawks jersey.
Yeah.
You could get a Rasheed one.
Do you remember the Mike Vick jersey where you'd get it custom made and you'd have Ron Mexico on the back and then the NFL banned it because he got some STD and then he got his STD medicine from the doctor in a fake name, and so people started getting Ron Mexico jerseys, and then the NFL said you cannot have a number 7 Falcons jersey with Mexico.
Why not? You're the one. What if there's some guy whose last name just coincidentally is Mexico, and he's like, now I can't even get my Atlanta Falcons 7 jersey.
Right.
Because of Mike Vick, STD medicine, like he got his penicillin filled under Ron Mexico.
This is going to end up being wrong, but that is the urban legend.
Ron Mexico also. Great name for a pitcher.
Ron Mexico?
Yeah.
A reliever.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, he's a long reliever. Mm-hmm. Ron Mexico. Kind of got like a little boiler, a little belly on him.
That's right.
Goatee.
Yeah.
Definitely a goatee.
Perhaps. Yeah.
That seems to be right. My version of events seems at least very, very close to accurate. It was his pseudonym for STD-related nefarious activities. Yes.
I know that it's big when athletes go on road trips and stuff. They'll check in under aliases all the time. Like, or in celebrities, they do that all the time. They'll check in. Like, I know there is a there was a former Blazer that used to go by the pseudonym of Tony Stark on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Was it Wesley Matthews?
It was Wesley Matthews.
That's a really bad one.
Nice pull.
Yeah, because he was Iron Man.
Yeah.
And he had the Audi A8 because of that. It's obviously, that was almost a decade ago.
On the flip side of that, my wife, then girlfriend, worked at Aeropostale, and one of their top level bosses, it was a commercial at one point, and he was like, that's actually my life. His name was Michael Jordan. And he was a big deal, so whenever he came into town, they'd get him a limo to go wherever, they'd get him a rented car. And he said his whole life, because he traveled all over the country to check out stores and stuff, was just disappointment. Like, people would see him. They thought, you know, we got a car for Michael Jordan. And they'd see him and be like, I don't think you're him. And he's like, yeah, I'm him.
No,
and
he's
like,
oh,
really? I told my kid I was driving Michael Jordan's. You? And that happened to him like dozens of times. That was his whole. He said every time he went anywhere and they got a private car. So he used a fake name so that he wouldn't be Michael Jordan, so that people wouldn't react all disappointed that they were driving him around.
Oh, that sucks. Like Michael B. Jordan, the actor, too.
Yeah.
Like, I know a guy who...
He had to throw a B in there.
Yeah, there's a guy I went to college with whose name was Michael D. Fox.
Oh,
not Michael. Like, he was Michael. Like, everybody's like, Michael J. Fox. Nope. He's Michael D. Fox. Totally different. And, you know,
not as good.
If you throw that middle initial in, nobody's going to be confused anymore.
Yeah, he should have thrown the middle initial in. But I think people were so caught off guard by the Michael Jordan thing that he just went with a totally different
name.
Just like, I don't want to be the guy that everyone's disappointed to see.
That sucks.
It does suck.
Anyway, bringing
this segment down, Andrew Nemec. Hmm. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'm glad we have our hot memorabilia talk too. You know what you're talking about in this.
I have lots of memorabilia. Hmm. Like crazy, crazy, crazy amounts. That's what I collected as a kid. I've got like Michael Jordan, Kobe, Mark McGuire, Alex Rodriguez, King Griffey Jr., Vince Carter, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Jerry Rice. I mean, I have all sorts of autographs.
How about
hundreds of autographs?
How about this one that says, I would want a syringe signed by Barry Bonds?
That would be cool.
That would be a nice little memorabilia. Now, if you could get that Ron Mexico jersey signed by Michael Vick.
Yeah.
As Ron Mexico.
A betting slip signed by Pete Rose.
Perfect. It'd just be a ledger out of a bookie.
Handcuffs signed by Lawrence Taylor. A baggie of cocaine signed by... Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Oh, goodness gracious.
A stripper pole signed by James Harden.
Now, that's
pretty good.
Yes.
Would be great. That would be fantastic. All right, 503-250-1080. That'd be the fan text line. We'll have more memorabilia talk, including now it's going to be a thing. Obscure sports things, references that you would want.
I'd be interested what people think. A can of
Sprite signed by Isaiah Ryder.
I don't know that reference.
That's what he's smoking weed out of.
Really?
God,
that's rough. Rough times. What would be the most like ironic, cool thing you could have signed by any athlete? I do think the James Harden stripper pole is kind of funny.
That is a pretty good one.
Michael Jordan cigar.
But that's not even that ironic. He actually signs cigars.
What's that?
What?
He actually will sign cigars.
No.
Sometimes.
Well, wait a
Michael
minute.
Jordan.
What about the Bill Clinton one, Dusty?
He has his own cigars.
Yeah. Why Bill Clinton cigar, Dusty?
You know.
I don't.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line.
By the way, I mentioned this. I said that Michael Jordan thing was a commercial, and it actually happened to the Aeropostale guy. And somebody said that Michael Jordan story is a commercial. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Also, I know a guy it actually happened to.
That's
which
how
is
you
crazy.
Started the Michael Jordan
That's
thing.
How I started the story. Is this was actually a commercial, but I really know a guy that this happened to. Anyway.
All right. We will have Gabe Neitzel on, our friend from ESPN Milwaukee. It's happening again, folks. The Packers versus Aaron Rodgers is a thing, and it's not getting any better. And this time, the Packers are to blame for it. We'll have some recruiting talk. I don't know if you know this. The recruiting show with Andrew Nemec right here on The Fan Thursday nights. It's hosted by Andrew Nemec, who's right here.
Sure is.
So we got some recruiting that we need to talk to because the Beavers picked up a big, big, big prospect from the transfer portal, what that means for OSU. And I've got questions about, you know, the Ducks recruiting because it seems like their doors opened up and big names seem to be rolling through yet again.
The floodgates opened, yep.
And then how the 12-team playoff may help out on the recruiting scene for teams not named Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. So we have a lot to get to, but where we got to start, the Nets are officially in deep water. Can they swim? Next on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Oh, yeah. I like these right here. I want a Tonya Harding signed lead pipe. Now, that would be a good collector's item.
Unfortunately,
Jeff Galooly on the other side.
Unfortunately, not super valuable. I mean, not that value is the main thing here, but
hubcap?
Not super valuable, but a funny one.
A Bill Walton autographed Grateful Dead shirt.
Okay.
Trash can signed by the entire Astros team.
Oh.
If you could pull that off, that one probably would be pretty valuable.
Oh, I bet it would.
Could,
oh, yeah.
If you could get them to sign the trash can or the massage gun used to bang on the trash can, you'd get a lot of money out of that one. But those guys, they're not to that point yet.
No, it's not funny yet. It might never be funny
to them.
It
will
funny
never
to you
be
yet?
Funny to them. No. Yeah. When people make the jokes, of course it's funny. Yeah. I think they're hilarious when people make the jokes about it, but I don't think they'll ever think it is.
Do you think the stickiness of the baseballs this year in some way decreases the stigma on the Astros cheating? Because it's like, well, cheating in baseball is rampant. Not at all.
Not at all.
Because to me, it's like, well, it's still bad. The Astros thing is bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
But the fact that it seems like all of pitchers right now are cheating as well, it's like, you're kind of being hypocrites if you're that mad at the Astros, because you're also cheating.
Yes. What they did was far more egregious.
No doubt.
And the weird thing about the sticky substance on the baseballs is like, it's been widely accepted as something that just happens. And now the MLB's like, somebody pointed it to Major League Baseball. So they're like, I guess we got to do something about it now.
No, like, nobody's hitting the ball and it's an issue.
Yeah.
Fine.
And that is, with the Astros, that's not, it was like, it wasn't widely accepted to film.
Oh, I know.
And decode.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It was bad. Yeah. It was really bad.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if the fact that now everyone in the league seems to be cheating this year, if that in some way makes it not as bad.
I can tell you this much.
It's bad.
A lot of Astros fans that I know believe that this is like vindication, and they are wrong.
Oh, see, so
it is not right at all.
That sentiment exists, and that's what I'm asking mostly, is does this decrease it for some people? And for some people,
it does.
Yes,
for me, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But for some, of course it does. All right. Well, we kind of went way over on the first segment, but now we just got a bunch of really good ones coming in. How about this? We were talking memorabilia before we get to the Brooklyn Nets. We will. This is actually a really good point, because Devin Booker got LeBron's jersey after they eliminated the Lakers.
Yes.
And he said, after it eliminated, it'll be the last number 23 game used jersey that LeBron will ever wear because he's changing his number to 6. That jersey that Devin Booker got is going to be worth a ton of money.
Yes.
Until he changes the number to 23.
A lot of money. Any game used LeBron signed jersey is going to be worth a ton. I would prefer, I mean, if we're just talking most valuable jerseys, his last Cleveland jersey walking off a champion. Ooh. That would be the most valuable jersey. Well, his championship.
Cleveland. His championship.
Versus like, because his Laker jersey is not yet iconic, right?
No.
Like LeBron in the number 23 Lakers jersey. It's a really nice piece. It's the last time he ever wore 23. It's an awesome piece of memorabilia. But it lacks that iconography that makes it really, really pop.
It's a good word. Yeah, it does. Well, he's not even a... Where is he on the pantheon of Lakers, even? Like in the history of the Lakers organization?
Because
you have Kobe, Magic, Kareem just right off the top.
Jerry West.
Jerry West. Wilt was a Laker.
Right.
I mean, you have a ton of great players, and hasn't been there for even that long.
Luke Walton.
You're damn right. Champion Luke Walton.
Robert Horry.
Shaquille O'Neal. Gary Payton. Gary Payton.
Smush Parker.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's tough, and people go about that in two different ways, and it drives me nuts. There's the, what have you done for my franchise ranking, which I think is more accurate, right?
Right.
Because you have your, like, overall pantheon of great players. So if you're just talking for a franchise, it's what did you do for our franchise?
Yeah.
And then there's a separate discussion that some people have internally. It's like, how could LeBron not be a top five Laker of all time? He's the number one or number two player ever. And it's
right.
Like, right, but not with... the Lakers. Come with me here, people. And there are people who have a hard time separating the two. In terms of LeBron's role with the Lakers, I mean, he's not a top five Laker ever.
No.
Not even close. I mean, it's not even close.
No.
Right? Not yet.
For what he's done for the Lakers organization, because there's guys that win multiple rings there.
Right.
Yeah.
Not yet. But he could be there, and that doesn't devalue who he is as an overall NBA talent, which is one of the top five players ever without question.
Especially when he plays there with Bronny.
God. Don't even get me started on the Bronny recruiting stuff. It drives me nuts. Bronny's a very, very good prospect. He is. If he were not LeBron James' son, he'd be in the 80 to 100 range. And I've had like four people be like, if this ever gets attached to my name, I'll kill you. But yeah, Bronny's not that guy.
People are that afraid of LeBron James.
Yes. Like, I'm not ranking him low. I'll rank him higher, but he's like 80 to 100-ish.
Oh, God.
That's who he is.
And that's why people say that's what's wrong with recruiting. Like, that's what people will say is wrong with recruiting, is that, like, they're propping a guy up because of his dad.
I wish I could tell you the number of times that somebody's been like, well, he's a 4-star. And they're like, really? He's like a 3-star talent. He's not great. But his dad runs a really important 7-on-7 program. So I'm not going to be the one to drop him a star.
See, that's like, that ridiculous. Sucks.
And that's happened with guys who then just flamed out at Oregon in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how come that guy's a 4-star? He coaches a really good high school in California. And that, or, you know, his dad played in the NFL. And you're like, who cares? And then you go, well, his film sucks.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Willie Taggart Jr., not to be disparaging it, he was like the third string JV quarterback at Sheldon, and he had offers from Oregon and Florida State.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Oh, wait, I know how that happened.
You're right, right. It happens more than people think. It really
that's
does.
Ridiculous. all right. What's the most valuable memorabilia you own?
Ooh. I don't know. I own a lot of good stuff.
Do you really?
Like, I have a Mike Trout signed rookie card.
That's pretty good.
I have a signed Jerry Rice helmet. I have a Charles Barkley signed jersey. I have a Michael Jordan signed photo. I have a Peyton Manning signed rookie card.
Now, did you go out and acquire these on your own, or did you buy them? Like, did you get the autographs on your own, or are you a purchaser of?
From like 8 to 12 years old, I did the whole card show thing, and you'd like pay to get in line and have people sign stuff.
Yeah.
And then I would go to games. I had a couple stretches where I'd go to games, Blazer game, and wear like nondescript clothes. And then like got all the Blazers autographs. Okay, so if the Lakers were in town, get stuff signed by them. That kind of thing. And then opening packs of cards. I collected cards from like 7 to 13. I was like, that's where all my money went. That's what I wanted for my birthday.
Nice.
I have a Mark McGwire signed baseball from the year he broke the home run record. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I have a lot of good stuff.
That's really cool.
It's crazy. I have a lot of good stuff.
It's very kick-ass.
Yeah.
All right, 503-250-1080. Oh, my gosh, you people on the text line. 503-250-1080. 1080. All right, let's get into the NBA over the weekend because another one bites the dust. Kyrie goes down. Can the Nets swim? Here's Will.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
All right, the Nets are now in deep water, man. Bucks even the series yesterday with the 107-96 win. And a bigger concern for the Brooklyn Nets is Kyrie Irving going down. Ankle sprain. That looked gnarly. His weight came down on the side of his foot. And have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes.
It sucks, and it hurts big time.
Yeah, and people think an ankle is one of those things that you can kind of tell immediately sometimes. Like, oh, my ankle hurts. And you know it hurts. You don't know how bad it is until sometimes you kind of come down from it. Yeah. And then the next day you cannot move or you're like, oh, my God. It'll be interesting to see because I would guess, based on the looks of it, I would guess he's not 100% the rest of the series.
No.
If he can play. I mean, we'll see, but... Man, it looked gnarly.
And that was when we're talking about what happened, he came down on the foot of Giannis because he was driving through the lane. I didn't understand, and I get where people are coming from, but I don't understand how this play in particular could be viewed as dirty because the Giannis dirty play coming underneath. I mean, when you look at what he was doing, Kyrie was going through the lane. Giannis was looking up at the basket and reading where the ball is coming down. Off the rim, and he did slide underneath Kyrie, but it was not nearly as bad as some of the ones that we've seen, you know, actually injure guys like, what was it, the Zaza Pachulia to remember that when Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs were lighting up the Warriors and then Zaza slid underneath him, which I thought was a dirty play, and it was a dirty play. This seemed a lot different, but and there's like a big reaction to it. Like, oh, how dare you take out Kyrie? That was a dirty play. They should review that for flagrant. It looked like a normal basketball play.
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to step in front of him in case he misses it to block him out. And I think everybody used to do that blocking out. You'd like swing your leg closest to the defender, kind of between their legs, so you could block him, right? And then you get the arm out and you kind of block him out. That's what it looks like Giannis was trying to do, come from the side and block him out. That's a huge difference than a closeout when somebody's shooting a three and you put your foot between their legs or you've put your foot in their landing spot. This was very different. And I think a lot of the time the conversation around sports comes from people who don't really know what they're talking. They vaguely remember, oh yeah, if you put your foot underneath somebody who's up in the air, that's dirty. And it's like, oh, well, that's what happened here. And it's like, blocking out in the paint is a whole lot different than closing out and putting your foot under someone. And if you don't know the difference, probably sit this conversation.
So if you're if you're the Nets fan that lives in Portland, because I'm assuming there's like only one, this is the time where you start to get worried, right?
Oh yeah.
Because it's not just Harden out with his hamstring. You now have Kyrie out with this ankle where he leaves the arena on crutches and in a walking boot. Never a good sign. And you will be going, no matter what, moving forward, you will have Kevin Durant. And then if you get back Harden or if you get back Kyrie, and it sounds like Harden might be able to come back for game six from what people are prognosticating. But that, I mean, Steve Nash even said it yesterday, like he's got to string days together where he's not affected by it. And he hasn't been able to do that yet. So maybe you get him back for game six, Harden. You're going to have, if you get Kyrie back, Harden and Kyrie will not be 100%. So you will be limited with 2/3 of your big three that you have if you get any of those guys back at all.
Well, it'll be interesting because Blake Griffin clearly tanked it for the Pistons. Maybe he has another gear. And I know he hasn't been MVP level, but maybe he's still dogging it. Yeah. Still dogging it. And he's got a whole nother gear where suddenly he's in the he's an MVP caliber player. Probably not. Yeah, they're in a little bit of trouble. I mean, Kevin Durant is this is Kevin Durant's stage, right? I mean, if you were ever going to look at an opportunity to say Kevin Durant can enter the discussion, and not that he's not already there, but he won his titles with the Warriors that already had Curry and already had Klay Thompson and Draymond. If he leads this team, battered and bruised, to a title, I think it could, in terms of narrative of career, really alter his career arc. If they lose in pretty easily here to the Bucks, I think that will also damage his career in terms of his reputation and his career. I think there's a lot on the line for Kevin Durant and the way we think of him as one of the premier basketball players in the world. We know he's one of the premier scorers. Can he be one of the premier franchise leaders? I think we're about to find out.
I've been saying this about the Nets all year long and leading into this playoffs is I don't trust them until we see them drug into deep water, right? Because of the fact of what you're talking about is like being that dude, being the guy who when S is hitting the fan, you pull them out of it and you lead them to another direction.
Harden's never been that dude.
Nope.
Durant's never been that dude. Kyrie hit a big shot, but LeBron was that dude.
Exactly. Yep. And that's where I go down this road of, all right, now they're in dragging into deep water here. And I think it would be unfair to judge him whether or not they get out of this playoff series if Kyrie and Harden don't come back, because we see it here in Portland. We see it here in Portland. Like, one guy can get you a game, right, in the playoffs. Can he lead you? You can drag a team through game five. And Kevin Durant, he could do that. Like, carry the Nets, win a game. But in a seven-game series, in a playoff series, man, that is incredibly hard to do over and over and over again against the same damn team. And we see it with the letter O here, too. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, and it doesn't matter how good you are when you have another team that can adjust and is at relatively full strength.
I mean, Jokic just won MVP. So as of this regular season, the NBA writers have decided he's the best player in the league, and he just got swept trying to do it himself with Jamal Murray on the bench. It's tough to do, but the caveat being the truly, truly greats in basketball can do it.
Yeah,
and Kevin Durant wants to be in that conversation. He probably belongs in that conversation. And this is a stage for him to potentially prove that. And if he does, if without Harden and Kyrie, the Nets end up winning this series and Durant has a couple of 45-point games,
right,
it's going to change the way people talk about Kevin Durant.
I agree, and it should. It should, because this is a different era. Like,
we just saw what Jokic did with that same situation, and he got smoked.
And this is akin to, like, when LeBron, like, prior to having Kyrie and Kevin Love, when he was in Cleveland dragging guys like Boobie Gibson and Zydrunas Ilgauskas
against the Pistons
to
trying.
The NBA Finals, and, like, you're sitting there, you're going, what is he, like, how is he able to do this? Like, how is he able to win a playoff series, let alone get to a conference finals? And he was able to do it. That is what Kevin Durant would be, which is like, you're not going with like a bunch of scrubs. Like, what does Blake Griffin have in the tank? I don't know. You got a great spot up shooter in Joe Harris, but that's about all he is. You've got Jeff Green, which with plantar fascia and old, like, I'm not sure what you're getting. You don't have any semblance of you have some decent names, but you don't have the stars that it takes to win in the playoffs now with this era of the NBA.
And I think this is what the super team era has robbed us of, is the coming of age story of the young stars, where they kind of surprise a better team just by being incredible. Dame's done it, right? Because he hasn't left. But we used to see that. You'd see every once in a while, it's like, oh, MJ's real. He just finally got past the Pistons, right? I mean, you'd see that with young stars. You'd see them kind of rise above team and just lead their team to a series when they have no business getting, and you go, man, for real, center stage, one of the top two or three players in the league, no question. And these super teams have kind of cut that corner, right? Durant didn't totally have to do it. He couldn't get past the Warriors. He just joined them.
Yep.
And LeBron did it with the Cavs, got to the finals, but didn't get all the way over the hump, then goes to the Heat, and he cuts that corner. We've seen too many young stars. Durant certainly, obviously, as we mentioned, has. This is his stage that kind of a lot of guys we used to see in the 80s do this when they were 23, 24, and then they were christened as elite players. And again, Durant has the stage to do that, even though he's tried everything in his power to cut that corner by joining the Warriors and then obviously now the Nets.
Hey, we got a little news involving the Brooklyn Nets and the Portland Trailblazers today.
Okay.
The Portland Trailblazers are interviewing for their head coaching vacancy, and it has a Nets connection. We'll talk about that next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app. It's all getting on your goodbye shoes and go, go. All right, well, the Nets have now lost Harden and Kyrie, and so they're just sitting there with Kevin Durant. And if those guys are hurt, sorry, championship goes bye-bye. But they can get through this because you need two wins.
Doesn't it feel like of any super team in the last few years, they're the most likely personality-wise to fold? Like, if they lose...
100%.
If they lose, you're going to make it through an offseason with Harden, Kyrie, and Durant starting next year happy and ready to go to make a second run. Mm-hmm. They've got it. Those are maybe the three most difficult superstars in the league to deal with.
It's the most butthurt roster.
Yes. Oh, it's horrible. Made so much sense that Blake Griffin went there. I was like, yep, that fits. You guys could get Dwight Howard and then you'd be perfect.
Ooh, he's in Philly.
I know. He's not in the right place.
Yeah. I'm not. Dwight Howard. Something else. That guy, could he be any
less likable?
Yeah, exactly. Like he hasn't always
murdered
been like
anyone.
Yeah, that's true. He's got that going for him, which is nice.
He took an Orlando franchise to the finals once or twice, and yet
once.
Okay.
Once,
yeah. And yet is still among players, even in Orlando, just like despised.
Yeah.
Do you know how big of a jerk and how weird? And that's what everybody says. He's just a total weird.
Very self-absorbed.
He's just like a weird,
socially awkward.
Yes, he struggles.
Odd combo to be.
And Kyrie Kyrie is weird too, in the sense that he'll say something, you go, "Wow, that makes a lot of sense." And then he'll say something like, "The Earth is flat," and you go, "You're just guessing. You're throwing darts at a board." And sometimes it sounds smart, and sometimes you sound like a moron. Then you have Kevin Durant creating fake Twitter accounts to talk crap to fans.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Talks crap about Giannis and then throws Jay Williams under the bus. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have James Harden, and he might be the most sane one.
If you don't know the James Harden one, this is fascinating. The Jay Williams one with KD. Apparently at a Christmas party, he went up to Jay Williams and he called him out for...
Don't compare me to Giannis.
Yes, don't compare me to Giannis and said because basically keep my name out of your mouth. And
Durant's more skilled. He feels he's a more skilled score at all three levels basketball player while Giannis is simply an athletic.
Jay Williams just passed that story along and that is what Kevin Durant decided
against.
And
he lost it.
Yeah, he lost. He said, don't you ever put words in my mouth. I never would say. I would never talk like that. It's like... Yeah, you would, because you get sensey about everything all the time.
Did you hear him when he did that like 6-part thing with Bill Simmons?
No.
And he would say stuff, and then like a half hour later, Simmons would be like, "Well, you feel this way," and he's like, "When did I say that?" And Simmons was like 30 minutes ago,
30 minutes
ago. And Simmons was kind of too afraid to piss him off.
Ooh, maybe he's a goldfish. Just resets.
That could be. And you've got James Harden, and he's the most normal. No wonder Mike D'Antoni wants out.
Well, their offensive coordinator on that team in Brooklyn, Mike D'Antoni, is interviewing for the Portland Trail Blazers head coaching vacancy today. Today he is getting, and I don't know if this is first cracks at it. Woj had the bomb that D'Antoni is going to interview for the Blazers job. He is 70 years old, and he's going to be sitting down with Neil Olshey to try to get that job. If there's one thing that if he does get this job here in Portland, he'll have plenty of times where he's managed ego before.
Yeah,
not very successfully, but he's been there.
The book about the Suns is 7 seconds or less, right? It's been a long time since I read it, but I did read it, and it was interesting how he managed Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire, who by all accounts did not like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Nash also helped kind of control that situation. So he has dealt with egos. Luckily, and if Dame's proven anything, pretty egoless as far as superstars go. We just got done talking about the Nets. Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire have had issues. Dwight Howard's had issues. Dame's not that guy. I don't love the idea of... Do you call him D'Antoni? It's not D'Antoni?
D'Antoni.
Whatever.
D'Antoni.
I don't know. What?
Just say it fast and
D'Antoni.
You'll be fine.
Okay.
You're good.
the Blazers' issues have been on the defensive side of things, right?
Yep.
They've been unlocked offensively. And I see people say, and I've seen analysts kind of say, well, it would be interesting if they bring him in because he could unlock CJ. If the reason you hire Mike D'Antoni is to unlock CJ, you are continuing to beat the drum of CJ is an unlockable all-star shooting guard when all evidence points to the contrary at this point. Let's not make a hire for that. If you want D'Antoni for a different reason and you think he's got the experience and he can help this team offensively be so great that they can make a run, fine. But if your argument is D'Antoni's going to unlock CJ,
not good.
Let's not even bring that up because the CJ is an all-star argument is dead. It needs to be dead in Portland. It's already dead nationally. Is it bad that I think he's a great coach, but I don't think it's the right fit? Is that terrible?
No. That's what we were saying last week. Like, he is a very good coach. This roster and everything that Neil O'Shea says needed to be fixed, it won't be fixed with him as the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. And that is a huge issue. Now, just because he's getting interviewed doesn't mean he's going to be getting the job. And I think that's very important because there's also reports over the weekend that Becky Hammon and the Spurs assistant and Dawn Staley, South Carolina's women's basketball coach, Shams, saying that they will be considered as candidates, as well as Chauncey Billups still in the mix, Clippers assistant.
I don't understand the Dawn Staley hire. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No NBA experience.
Never been in an NBA locker room. Never been in an NBA locker room in a professional setting. Now, she was a phenomenal WNBA player. She won a national championship at South Carolina. She spent something like the last 20 years coaching women's basketball. And that is certainly experience. I don't put that against her. I wouldn't want a college coach that's never been in an NBA locker room.
Yeah.
I think there is value to being an assistant coach or a head coach previously and understanding the grind of an 82-game season and the intensity required to step up to make a playoff run. And I think that matters. And she has none of that experience. Becky Hammon to me is interesting. Chauncey Billups is interesting. Brent Berry was a name I saw brought up, and I think that would be great.
Yeah, that.
But I don't get the Dawn Staley one.
Is a little confusing.
You don't like Brent Berry? Bring him back?
No. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to it, but again, is that fixing any of the ills that Neil O'Shea is outlining? And what? Look, you need to make a hire that makes Damian Lillard happy too.
Right.
Like, I could care less. Like, and this may be the whole, when you talk about the unlocking CJ thing, going back to Neil and being like, the best thing that I could do is just prove that Dame and CJ for me, because I've been married to these two and saying it'll work, is show that they can be successful in unlocking CJ. But what he outlined in that odd presser was he needs a guy that can ramp up the defensive intensity, because we know offensively they have enough skill on the offensive end of the floor. I don't think that's it.
Does it worry you that Neil O'Shea is going to be the man making this hire?
Yes.
Knowing full well that his hire is going to be someone specifically that fits or supposedly fits this roster rather than, hey, we need to overhaul and stay relevant in the West. This coach would be the best to get us from point A to point B.
It's one of those ultimate talking out of both sides of the mouth when you say the roster construction isn't the issue, which was in that press conference,
right.
But then also saying there's going to be a lot of change on this roster from, you know.
So is he hiring for this roster or is he hiring for the roster he wants to build?
It should be finding the best coach to lead this team with the four pieces that you have right now. Because you can want CJ McCollum out, and we've seen it's run its course. And I think, by the way, his comments about this, he's handled it very well, just saying, look, I can just handle what I can control, and being here is where he's at right now. And hell yeah, that's a great way to go about it. But you go with the four pieces that are locked up right now, and that is Dame, CJ, Rocco, and Nurk, right? You got to find the guy who can get the most out of those four, because I would say in a perfect world, the guy who can get the most out of your four that you would move forward with is Dame, Norm, Rocco, and Nurk, with a trade asset bringing in your fifth starter and a guy that can work with those four particularly. I think it's going to be the guy that can work with the ones that are under contract right now with Portland.
Man, I just...
Or gal.
I just don't get it. I don't get making a hire.
You're not the
to
only
say,
one, Andrew.
I don't get bringing in a coach to say, let's make these four pieces successful. These four pieces together aren't working. That ain't it. That's not going to win the West.
Mm-mm.
And I think Portland fans are starting to finally, collectively, get tired of 1-2-3 Cancun out in the first round. I think they're unless the other team has multiple injuries. Not just Jamal Murray, though. That's not enough. It has to be multiple, and then they can make it to maybe the second round. Yep. I think Blazer fans are tired of that. And I think if you're selling Nurk, CJ, Dame, and Rocco and saying our head coach fits those four, I'd say make sure Dame's happy. Everything else is fluid. And that's all that really matters in this coaching hire is that Dame is happy.
Hire the best damn coach you can.
Yeah. That Dame likes. That's it, right?
Yep. How do officials not understand what their job is? Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.